From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series of studies of the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Peculiar Power of the Gospel. Paul's thesis for the Book of Romans is found in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 1, where he wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The heart of the gospel is justification by faith alone, through faith in Christ alone. The first thing we note about the gospel is its divine origin. It is not the product of human philosophy. Rather, it is a divine revelation. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Faithful and Useful. The text is Psalm 101, verse 6. "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me." If David spoke thus, we may be sure that the son of David will be of the same mind. Jesus looks out for faithful men, and he fixes his eyes upon them, to observe them, to bring them forward, to encourage them, and to reward them. Let no true-hearted man think that he is overlooked. The king himself has his eye upon him. There are two results of this royal notice. First, we read, "that they may dwell with me." Jesus brings the faithful into his house. He sets them in his palace. He makes them his companions. He delights in their society. We must be true to our Lord, and he will then manifest himself to us. When our faithfulness costs us most, it will be best rewarded. The more furiously men reject, the more joyfully will our Lord receive us. Next, he says of the sincere man, "He shall serve me." Jesus will use for his own glory those who scorn the tricks of policy and are faithful to himself, his word, and his cross. These shall be in his royal retinue, the honored servants of his majesty. Communion and usefulness are the wages of faithfulness. Lord, make me faithful, that I may dwell with thee and serve thee.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine.
Savior divine, thou hear me while I pray, and take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
How long have you been attending church? How many churches have you attended? How many hundreds of preachers have you listened to? And then ask yourself, how often have I ever in church expound and apply the gospel of justification by faith alone in Christ alone? Sadly, in Protestantism today, we have got away from the preaching of this great truth. Our churches are culpably silent or almost silent on it. And where they do speak on it, more often than not, they enunciate the theology of the Council of Trent and not the doctrine of the Apostle Paul. So obviously it is not commonly believed that it is the doctrine of justification by faith alone in Christ's merits alone that gives the gospel its peculiar power. People have all sorts of notions as to what imparts power to their gospel preaching. From the color of the carpet to the type of singing and music to the kind of illustrations the preacher is able to drum up, all these are thought to be the secret of power. We have got to have a user-friendly gospel. We have got to have a PR man in the pulpit. And the old-fashioned idea of a prophet sent from God with a message from God that deals with these ironclad truths of the central theme of the gospel, that's altogether out of vogue. But I want to tell you, my friend, it's true nonetheless. The gospel has its peculiar power from this central truth of justification by faith, as Paul states it here in Romans, and especially in this great statement of theme in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. As we look at these verses, I want us to remark first and foremost that the gospel is a divine revelation. Underlying the word revealed, therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. This is a divine revelation. The gospel is not a human philosophy. The gospel is not a human system of theology. The gospel is not a theory. The gospel is not even a discovery. The gospel is a divine revelation. When we read that it is revealed, we are informed that this is something, a subject upon which the mind of man has no information whatsoever apart from what God gives directly by revelation. Here is something miraculous. Here is something entirely divine in its content. The mind of man could never arrive at it. There is no way in the study of any of the disciplines that the human mind could ever arrive at the doctrine of a free justification on the merits of Jesus Christ received by faith without works. That is a matter of divine revelation. Not only is it a matter of divine revelation, but it is a revelation that's given to us in Scripture. Notice that immediately after referring to this fact of revelation, the apostle says, as it is written. In other words, he says, this is a matter of revelation. Now, where are you going to find the revelation? That's a very, very big question. Very important question. People come up with all sorts of answers. And he does not direct them to the unwritten traditions, though they were abundant. He directs them to the written Word of God. As it is written, and he's quoting from Habakkuk. Now learn to pronounce that properly. It's not Habakkuk. It reminds me of a tobacco maker for some reason. It's Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. It is written. So as a proof of revelation, The apostle refers us to the Bible, to the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. Now that's a very important thing, because it tells you that the gospel was known and shown, it was revealed in the Old Testament. That's clear from this reference to an Old Testament prophet. It's also clear from how Paul deals with the Old Testament in this book of Romans. In Romans, Paul has around 60 direct quotations from the Old Testament in support of his doctrine. This is the first of them. The first direct quotation from the Old Testament. But there are about 60 of them in all. Now remember what Paul is doing here. Paul is establishing the doctrine of justification by faith alone, in Christ alone. That's what he's establishing. And in order to establish his doctrine, he quotes from the Old Testament. Why? Because clearly, this gospel that Paul is emphasizing is not something entirely new. Now, we have seen this already in our studies. Going back to chapter 1, verse 2, we read of the gospel that it was a gospel he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, I'm not going to make the mistake that too often preachers do and rehash all that I said in that verse. If you have a good memory, you'll remember that we did deal in great detail of the relationship of the Old Testament to the New Testament as we considered that part of the introduction. But clearly, this is not something entirely new. Turning over to chapter 3, verse 21, the apostle speaks of his gospel. He says, now, but now. We will see when we get there, the first two words of that 21st verse are one of the hinges upon which this whole book turns. This is a focal point. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Over in Galatians, he takes up the same theme in chapter 3, verse 8. And he says that the scripture preached the gospel unto Abraham. The scripture preached the gospel. In other words, the scripture records how the gospel was preached unto Abraham. That's why in Romans chapter 4, Paul uses Abraham as one of the great examples of a man who is justified by faith without works. So this gospel was shown and known in the Old Testament. But now it is manifested in all its glory and all its fullness in the New Testament. The verb translated revealed is the verb form of the word that gives us the name of the last book of the Bible. It's the book of the Revelation or the Apocalypse, as it's very often called, which is simply an anglicizing of the Greek noun. This is the verb form. That word signifies the removing of a veil. Now we are told in the gospel, the veil is removed, and the righteousness of God is clearly seen. In the Old Testament, the gospel was preached, but it was preached under the veil of prophecy that had a long time waiting to be fulfilled. It was preached under the veil of types and foreshadowings. It was preached, yes, but there was still a veil. In the New Testament, the veil is removed and the gospel stands fully revealed. As Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 1, God at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's the Old Testament. But the New Testament is this: he has spoken unto us now by or in his Son. The veil is removed. Perhaps the easiest way to explain this is to read what Peter says about it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. He says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, understand what he's saying. The prophets received the great statements of the Holy Spirit about salvation, about Christ and his work. They were naturally interested. And so they not only recorded, this is a wonderful insight into the life and the work of an Old Testament prophet. They not only recorded the message, but they then sat down prayerfully and studied what they had recorded. Can you imagine Isaiah with his own 53rd chapter before him? And he's pondering it, and he's praying over it, and he's searching about it, and he's crying to God to give him light on the full meaning of what he has just recorded. God answered their prayer, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. In other words, the prophets learned something, but they learned that the full unveiling of the Christ whom they were predicting and presenting yet lay in the gospel age. So the gospel is now manifested in all its glory and fullness. And this revelation is one that is dynamic and powerful. When we read that the righteousness of God is revealed, we are not to understand that the gospel is merely made known to the minds of men. That God simply makes some facts known, lays them before the mind of man for his apprehension or comprehension. God is not saying here that he's making the facts of the gospel known purely as a matter of providing information. Oh, God does all those things. He gives us the information. He sets the truth before our minds to be apprehended by them. But this revelation is much more than that. You see, the mind of man is darkened. If that's all God ever did, not one of us would ever be saved. You've got to realize that. Now, here I'm perhaps going a little ahead of myself. But when we get into chapter 1, verses 18 and following, we will discover something of the darkness and the depravity and the stupidity, the sinful, stubborn wickedness of the heart and mind of every man and woman by nature. And if God came and gave us all the information about the way to heaven, we would still go to hell. Think of it this way. You come to a man born blind, and you flick on a light. What does he see? Nothing. It doesn't matter to him whether the light is shining or whether it's not. He sees nothing. Why? Because he's blind. That's exactly the parallel situation with our spiritual condition before God. There's blindness. God could flick on the light. He could give us all the information in the world. It would not make any difference in itself. Unless he gives us the ability to see the light. That's what he does in a saving revelation. This is a saving revelation that he's talking about here. And this revelation not only supplies the light of information, but it gives the sight, it gives the eyes with which to see the light.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.